Right now, it is time for Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio, a time where we're joined by Thorin Christendotter from Main Street Magazine. You'll find them on the web, mainstreetmag.com. Of course, free pickup throughout the tri-state region at various locations, and even right here, once a week on Robinhood Radio. Good morning, Thorin.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely fine because I have the Pfizer vaccine in me, so that's one less thing I have to worry about.
Well, you caught my attention because I got the J&J last week.
Well, I think it's one thing that if most people are worried about it, they just contact their doctors. I mean, it's only six cases, but still it's a precautionary thing to do. So I wouldn't really worry about it, Thorin. But, you know, if it makes you feel better, just contact your doctor, and your doctor will tell you how to, you know, the symptoms of blood clots. I mean, I had no idea what the symptoms of blood clots were until last summer. I was home, and I got a call, and it was my doctor. My doctor never calls me, okay? Never, mm-hmm. never. I have to... So he calls me, and he says, "Where are you right now? Are you at the station?" So I said, "No, why?" He says, "Because I'm outside the station. I want you to go to the emergency room right away."
Oh, boy.
And so I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you have certain indicators that indicate you might have had a blood clot." So, of course, by the time I got to the emergency room, my blood pressure was like 180 over 140.
Right, right.
Because I thought I was going to die any minute. It turns out I didn't. I didn't have any blood clots. But being very tired, getting tired easily is one of the things. There's a whole bunch of different symptoms. So to anybody out there, it's not to worry about. It's just to know that sooner or later you're going to hear it in the news that they're pausing that vaccine. So I wouldn't worry about it, Thorin. I think you're fine. Of course.
I certainly hope so. I know that there have been a lot of J&J shots in our community lately. So
I know. I feel like John Belushi in Animal House. You know, just here's a six-pack of beer. You'll be fine.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, we've talked about this story before, but I want to talk about it again because coming up April 22nd, the village of Millerton is celebrating Earth Day. And it is I just think it's a great day for people to take a look around and see how far we've come since the early 70s, since Earth Day really was founded, and the advances, and probably not the things that aren't advances that we've done as a country regarding our Earth and the environment.
Yeah, so on page 31, we have a one-page story about how Millerton is going to celebrate Earth Day this year. But this will actually be the second that the Climate Smart Community Task Force kind of hosts. But, of course, due to COVID last year, they changed it to virtual. So this year they're very excited to be able to have in-person events. And this will take place, you know, basically the gist of it takes place on Saturday, I think it's the 24th. You can go to their website, which is listed at the end of the article, to get a whole list of everything that's happening. But the whole community is basically involved in it. Everything from an electric car at Northeast 4 to McEnroe's in the Dig and the Northeast Community Center and much more. And so this piece talks about some of the things that they're doing and why they're doing it.
All right. You know, it's like I said, it's just a great day for people to recognize, hey, terra firma, Earth, it's what we've got.
Exactly.
Let's do our best to keep it around for our future generations. Next story I'll go on to is a very interesting story because of something that's going on at the Salisbury and Sharon Transfer Station. You've got a story called A Different Kind of Compost, and it's on composting and stuff like that. But the Salisbury-Sharon Transfer Station is now urging people to compost their food values. I think it's a pretty interesting program for a transfer station to get involved in. But let's go to your story about A Different Kind of Compost.
Griffin wrote a piece here about, some of the things, the beneficial, you know, biology of it, and why and how one should compost. You know, it's a quick one-pager about it. But, there's so many benefits to composting, and there are a couple of different ways to do it. But, you know, essentially it's simple. So, you know, he gives you a few pieces that Melinda and Kyle have given him from, they're from Berkshire Worms, and they, have made a business out of composting and helping folks compost. So they give their expert tips on the best ways to do that.
All right. And below that story, Climate Change Solutions, Sustainable Hudson Valley. I just love all these organizations that are locally based. It's a theory that works. You can take something that's a national and international news story and really funnel it down to the local area.
Aren't you, you know, happy to hear about, you know, someone like this right here in our area doing these great things? Because yeah. I hadn't heard of them until Regina brought them to my attention. And of course, you know, for this April issue, which is our environmental issue, you know, we were like, this is the perfect story for this issue. So, and to highlight an organization such as this and their efforts. And that's one of the things I love that we do when we focus the issue on a certain topic. They're able to highlight, you know, people, businesses, and community organizations that devote themselves to a certain effort. And so, you know, the environmental issues are something that are near and dear to my heart. So, of course, this issue is one of my favorites, but learning about the causes that people are fighting for and the things that they're doing. So learning about this organization as well as a little later on, I'm jumping here, but on page 43, the story that Griffin wrote about ARC 38 in Wasaic, these two organizations, I was so happy to learn about specifically. And to see their efforts and how they're making an impact, not just locally, but globally as well.
Well, because especially, I was going to talk about the ARC, the story. People hear the word sustainability, and that is a real important word in your lifestyle, whether it's local or national or international. Sustainability is something that helps the recycling effort and helps the environment.
For sure. And we all need to think about these things. It's not just, you know, whether or not you recycle the plastic or, you know, the soda cans. There are so many things that can be done, just like you and I discussed in last week's interview about when you're moving, and Lisa's story about it, the different ways that you can help the environment as well as help your neighbors when you move, and, you know, what can be recycled, what can be given away, and how it can upcycle. So it really goes to every level. And I think it's just about thinking differently and, you know, kind of thinking outside the box for a minute and viewing your life a little differently and what you're doing and the impact that you're having. Because imagine that all of us did a little something and the impact that would have. It's a ripple effect.
Yeah. And your story that you've done, Be the Change You Want to see. And what's amazing about that is I remember back when I lived in Kingston, New York, and New York State was going from no seatbelt law to a seatbelt law. That's how old I am. Well, I decided right away with my young family, we didn't wait the year to start. We started wearing seatbelts and change. Now, I have to admit, I was a very late comer to recycling. You know, I used to hear all the stories about, you know, trash all goes to the same place, blah, 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 blah. But once I got into the habit of recycling, every once in a while I'll make a mistake. But it makes a huge difference in your local lifestyle. I mean, it's not only the fact that there's no place to put this stuff anymore. There's burn facilities. The cost to join these facilities to get rid of trash is getting higher and higher. It affects you locally. I mean, on the waste stream. And you can be the change you want to see simply by following some of these steps. And now I'm a pretty avid recycler, really. And you know what? It makes a big difference in the way the trash goes out of my house.
Exactly. And that's why I wrote this piece. Just to, you know, and honestly, when I started writing it, I had too much, you know, to fit. So, because there's so many things to talk about and so many, you know, small little tips. And I mean, just like when you go to the grocery store, when New York State banned the use of single-use plastic bags in the stores and they forced everyone to get, you know, the reusable bags. Okay, well, I do a lot of my shopping at Hanover, so I got these little bags that they sell with their logo on it for a dollar, or it was $2 or whatever. So I have, you know, six of those, and then I have a couple of that are insulated. So every time I go to the store, now you grab them out of your trunk, and I stopped using the, when you go get your produce, the little plastic bags, I stopped using those, and I just put my fruits and vegetables in my cart, but then I wash them thoroughly anyway when I get home. So I feel like that small gesture, well, I'm lessening the use of plastic, even though it's there, even though it's an option. And because I have my bags and I put all my produce in one bag, so it doesn't really matter. And then, you know, recycling the plastic bottles if you use those. But, you know, again, you can use reusable bottles. There are plenty of cute ones that you can get. You know, it's just thinking of these small things that you can do. And then go, yes, wonderful if you go to the greater scale, but at least start with baby steps. We're not asking everyone to, you know, jump off the deep end and do big things, but if they do, fantastic.
Well, you know, you talk about that. I sit here right now, and every morning I finally have gotten into consuming about 68 ounces of water a day. And here I have a reusable plastic cup at my house where I sit and watch TV. I have a jug that's plastic. At my computer when I do work at the house, I have a separate jug. And I'm right by my bed, I have a 32-ounce jug, all refillable with water. And it's something I would have never, ever, ever, ever done 5 years ago. And exactly. And now it's the norm. It's the norm.
I have an aluminum, you know, cup that I fill every morning with water, and I take that with me. And I hate when I forget it. If I have too much in the morning and I could just completely forget it on my counter, you know, but that's the one I use because it also helps me measure how much water I ingest during the day. But, you know, it's just these things. And it's a habit. You just get used to it.
Yep. You make it part of your everyday lifestyle. And,
exactly.
And you're not being a hippie or anything like that. You're just helping the planet and helping your future. Well, these stories and more in this month's edition of Main Street Magazine, which is on newsstands right now and also on the web. When's the next issue debut?
It will be out, my printer's telling me, probably the last day of April if I get it to her by a certain time, which I'm hoping to do. But it's our May issue, is our transportation issue, and we're working on that right now. And, you know, so last call for advertising, and, you know, we're very excited about it.
MainStreetMag.com on the web. Of course, Thorne, it's always great to talk with you. I'll speak to you again next week.
Sounds terrific. Have a good one.
Take care. And once again, you can find Main Street Magazine at MainStreetMag.com and at free locations to pick up throughout the tri-state region.